Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
This is really part two of last week's message. I want to talk to you on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's arguably one of the most important truths and experiences a Christian can have outside of salvation. I would suggest it is the most important experience that you and I can have as we experience Jesus baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. Tonight, during our hosting huddles, two of our hosts are filled with the Holy Spirit. So God is here to work, God is here to move. And so if you wondered if something's gonna happen, it already has started. Isn't that good news? And so God is, I just thought, wow, that is fantastic. So one of the coaches laid hands on them and they received instantly. And so tonight we're believing that for you. If you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm so excited for you because it is an incredible moment in a person's life. We're gonna jump right into the scripture. Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. That's important. When Jesus gives a command, it tells us how important what he is commanding is. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. So think of this. The apostles have been with him 3 years. They've watched him cast out demons. They've watched him heal the sick. They've watched him raise the dead. And he has sent them out, and they have done the same. But now, he doesn't say, well, you've heard me preach, now go preach. He doesn't say, you've gone out and preached, go ahead and preach. No, what he says is wait, because you're going to need power that you don't have. Power that only comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In Luke 24, he said this, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. At salvation, as we said last week, the Holy Spirit lives in you. But there is a second work of the Holy Spirit where he clothes you, where it's like a garment that covers you, a garment of power, a garment of anointing, a garment of God resting on you that you might do the work that God wants all of us to do. And Jesus said this in Acts 1:5, for John, that's John the baptizer or Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now the question is, what would that do for them, practically speaking? Because if we can watch it in their life, we can see what it will do in ours. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power. Dunamis in the Greek. Dynamite, we get our word from it. You'll receive dynamic, explosive, miracle-working power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word appears 10 times in the book of Acts. It can be translated miracle power, miraculous power. It is a supernatural power that comes on people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want to just show you some of the things it does. First of all, it's power to witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. We get our word, it's martus in the Greek. We get our word martyr from it. You'll be my martyrs. In other words, it's such power that you don't care what people not only think about you, you don't care what they do to you. All the apostles except John were martyred. They died for their faith. God supernaturally empowered them to declare the gospel. The mark of a person who is full of the Spirit is a person who is bold in their witness for God. And so if you're afraid to talk to people about Jesus, you need power. If you're afraid to go up to somebody, you're afraid of what they'll think, you're afraid of what they'll do, you need power. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. Number two, it gives us boldness. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they've been told not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, there is a boldness about you. Say, I'm a shy person. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're the boldest shy person you've ever met. You are full of the Holy Spirit, and it gives you a boldness to declare in the face of opposition the gospel and the glory of God. Number three, it's power for miracles. Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, that's dunamis, did great wonders, mega wonders, and miraculous signs among the people. How did he do miraculous signs, great wonders? He was full of the Holy Spirit. When a person's full to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, it demonstrates itself in the ability to see supernatural things happen in the lives of people. Look at this in Acts chapter 8. Simon himself. So Simon is watching Peter and John. Philip, I'll summarize this. Philip goes to, he's one of the deacons in the church, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. He goes to Samaria. He ministers to them. They're saved. There are miracles that happen. Meanwhile, there is a sorcerer by the name of Simon. He himself believed and was baptized. And as he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the mega signs and dunamis he saw. And what kind of signs did he see? Well, in verse 6, we read this. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. In Acts chapter 10, and I think this is very significant. How did Jesus do what he did? A lot of people say, well, he's the Son of God, so he could do anything. Well, that's wonderful. I mean, that he is the Son of God. But if he did what he did because he was the Son of God exclusively, because he's deity, then you and I can admire it. We just can't imitate it. What people forget is he was the God-man. He was 100% God wrapped in 100% humanity. Philippians chapter 2 tells us he set aside the prerogatives and privileges of deity and humbled himself and became in likeness a man. What happened is he was at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came down, anointed him, drove him into the desert where he was tempted for 40 days. He comes out of the desert full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of the Spirit. What is happening there? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and dunamis. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because he was God. That's not what it says. Because God was with him. How was God with him? He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's how you and I can look at the works of Jesus and say, he has called us to do what he did. Greater works than these will you do. You can ask anything in my name and I will do it. How? Because when you're full of the Holy Spirit, that not only becomes a possibility, God's desire is it becomes a reality in the life of the believer. God anointed Jesus and he did miracles. Number four, it will give you wisdom. But they could not withstand the wisdom, talking about Stephen, and the spirit from which he was speaking. Really, it's interesting. The first person filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible that we read about is Bezalel, and he was filled with wisdom to do artistic things. So the Spirit of God will give you a supernatural wisdom that will help you to stand up in situations and represent God, because it won't be you speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. It gives us power, number five, for divine appointments. This is awesome. This is Philip again. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place, so it's a deserted place is really what it means. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Philip could have said, "Why would he listen to me? He's Ethiopian and I'm Jewish. He's a high official. I'm not in that caste of society. I'm not in his strata of society. I don't even know that I can speak his language. He doesn't know if he's on official business or personal business. He has no idea." But the Holy Spirit, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll hear the voice of the Spirit more readily speaking to you. And when he speaks to you and you follow it, it creates divine appointments. He goes up to the chariot. He hears him reading, the Ethiopian eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And it must have blown his mind to think, here's this guy reading the book of Isaiah. And the eunuch says, the treasurer says, "You know what, how can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me?" Next thing you know, he's invited Philip up into his chariot to ride with him to explain scripture to him. And as he hears the word of God, he says, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" And then we read this, Philip baptizes him, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I would love that. I would love it if the Spirit of the Lord on Monday night just carried me away to Arrowhead, and I got to see Denver beat the Chiefs. You say, "Now you're in the flesh, John." Okay, but wouldn't that be amazing to have the Lord take you and lift you up and drop you in a place where he wanted to do ministry? And the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way, and Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. What I want you to see is the whole book of Acts is filled with divine appointments. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." He wants to send us out, but he wants to equip us as we go out. The gospel is always, Christianity is about reaching the lost. First and foremost, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's called you and I to do that. He wants to equip us to do that. And that's why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the beginning of a power-filled walk with God. And we're never going to come to the end of his glory, his presence, or his power until we're in heaven eternally with the Lord. And in the meantime, he wants to fill us and refill us and keep us full so we're full of his power. And I would just say this, I mean, we can look at a lot of things, but I want to sum it up this way. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is something so remarkable. It's something so powerful. You could think of it as an open door to the treasures of heaven. It's the means by which God takes our weakness and turns it into strength. It's the means by which he saturates us with his presence and with his power so that we live a life filled with all the fullness of God. That's his desire for you and I. And Jesus, John the Baptist said, comes to baptize people with the Holy Ghost and fire. He is the baptizer. So I want to take a lot more time because I want to give us time to pray, but every one of us needs to be full of the Holy Spirit. To be full of the Holy Spirit, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's something that's not a one and done experience. It's once you start, you need it every single day. You need it all the time. You need it morning, noon, and night. It's something that he wants us to walk in a continual fullness of the Lord. And when you do that, it will absolutely begin to change your life. So, are you willing to be filled? I mean, I think that's a real question for a lot of people. Are you willing? Sometimes people say, well, I tried and it didn't happen. And what I say is, listen, there's last time I read your quote on the power, the value, and the importance of, if necessary, waiting. And everybody's wired differently. That's why everybody receives differently. Some people receive instantly. Some people receive after they wait on the Lord, as God begins to do a work in them that prepares them for the power he's going to place on them. And I would just suggest to you that if God is doing a work in you to prepare you for the power that's going to come upon you, then you have to believe that work must be something pretty awesome. Because it takes a steady hand to carry a full cup. And however it is that God wants to baptize you is not the issue. The issue is he does want to baptize you. And you can read in the book of Acts, and out of the five times it's mentioned, three times people laid their hands on people and they received. You can read in other places two times where the Spirit of God just came down and spontaneously filled them. So I don't know what he's going to do. The important thing is that you would just say, God, I believe you want to do it. I believe you're going to do it. And Lord, just have your way right now. And then you begin to just yield yourself to the Lord and say, Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. And watch what God will do. You know, for some, it will be a matter of, you know, I remember when I was filled, and of course, my nature is my nature. So my nature is not your nature, and some of you might have my nature. But my nature was, when I heard about it and I heard how wonderful it was, I was like, well, I'm not leaving until I get it. So they eventually turned down all the lights. They all left and had just the lights on at the front of the auditorium. And they just said, shut the lights off when you leave. I mean, that's really what it amounted to. And I was there by myself, and at midnight, received, right around midnight, I wasn't watching my watch, but it was about that time. So they had left about 2 hours earlier. And at the time, I'm a teenager, I know zero. But I just said, if it's for me, I want it. And God, I'm here, and I know you're here, and I'm just gonna wait till I get it. And I just prayed. They just said, keep praying, and you'll get it. And you know what? I got it. You know, I mean, I'm just, you know, I think we make it complicated, more complicated than it needs to be. I don't, you know, he wants to baptize us and he wants to prepare us. I'm gonna read you a couple of testimonies here. Donald G., one of the pioneers in Pentecost, wrote a book entitled Pentecostal Experience. Here's what he writes. I just think it's so good. In John 7, Jesus said, drink. That action is very simple, for we drink every day to quench our thirst. It is the first thing a newborn learns to do. Drinking does, however, require some action and effort on our part. Drinking is an act of the will. It is exactly the same in the spiritual sense. It seems so simple, and yet it marks the point where many stumble and fail to enter into the spiritual experience for which their souls long. They expect their thirst to be quenched without their own act of drinking. In other words, the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is you're going to speak in a language you don't know. It's not the gift of tongues. It is a prayer language that God gives you. But in order to speak in tongues, you got to speak. Does that make sense? You can't speak unless you speak. You can't drink living water unless you swallow, right? That's what he's saying. The gift has already been promised and is therefore ours for the taking from the hand of him who loves to give good gifts to his children. We ought not to wrestle and work to receive the Holy Spirit. We may know believers who have come that way or may hear testimonies that run along that line, but the reason for the struggle resided somewhere in the recipients and not in the giver. Peter says it is receiving a gift. Nothing should be more simple and more wholly delightful than that. Isn't it a great thing when somebody gives you a gift? It's an awesome thing. I mean, it's great. One more word to those seeking this blessing. Continue until you receive it. We cannot baptize ourselves, neither can we do more than lead one another to the place of blessing. It is Jesus' glorious work to immerse us in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real, definite, vivid experience. Do not be satisfied until you are satisfied. That is just really, really a good word. He goes on to write this about his own experience. I had no immediate manifestation. So they're talking about the Holy Spirit. He comes forward. They lay hands on him. He says, I went home, though, more supremely happy, having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. This is a really important statement because, see, again, it's very similar to almost all that God does. A lot of times people go home and say, I haven't been healed. When I would say in many cases, the healing is there and would be manifest if people didn't, with a lack of faith or doubt, cancel it. You may not be there personally, and I'm not gonna argue with people. I'm just gonna say what I watch and see and what I've watched in my own life. I think the same thing is true here, that there's people who go home and say, well, I didn't get it. When in fact, once you started asking, Jesus started baptizing. He starts filling you as soon as you ask. I mean, if we're evil and we know how to give good gifts, Luke 11, Jesus talking, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I mean, I clearly realized, however, that the experience involved a scriptural manifestation of the Spirit as in the book of Acts. I fully expected to speak in other tongues and had no thought of anything else. I mean, so you go out and you say, you know what? It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen when I least expect it. We pastored out in Western Kansas and there was a farmer and they were from a different background. And so he was just unsure and very reserved in his personality. And so he didn't do well with a bunch of people gathering around him praying for him. He told me that's hard for me. So, and that's not what we're gonna do tonight. So I said, well, if you seek it, you'll receive it. He said, well, how am I gonna receive it? I said, well, just seek it and leave the receiving up to God. He's out in his field in Western Kansas. You know, out there, some of the larger dry land farmers will have planes to be able to check because they're farming thousands of acres to check their land. He sees his friend overhead flying over him. And the guy, you know, does the wing thing and he waves at him. And the guy's just kind of circling around. And the Holy Spirit says to him at that point, David, if you'll kneel, I'll fill you. And he looks down and it's mud. And he's like, he said he had to think about it a minute, but they said, I want it so bad. He knelt down and instantly was filled. You see, God has, I had another friend who was an optometrist and he went home and at night, he dreamed about receiving the Holy Spirit and he woke up and he was speaking in tongues. You know, so I mean, and hey, there are people that receive right at the moment. We saw that, I just told you, we had people tonight before the service. So God does things. He's a God of so much creativity. He can do it in a thousand ways, but he does it, is the point, right? So here's what he says. I fully expected to speak in other tongues and had no thought of anything else. From that hour, my joy and gladness were intense until I hardly knew how to express myself in prayer and praise. The assurance that God had indeed fulfilled his promise to me, gathered in certainty. He could tell something was happening. Something, the way I remember my first time, it's just like there was a well of joy that came out of me. The Holy Spirit, it was just like, it was this joy that was, in the words of Peter, unspeakable. am full of glory. And all of a sudden, I had no way to express it except in a language I did not know. That's what he's saying. He's saying, man, I experienced a new fullness and beyond words, and found it increasingly difficult to adequately voice all the glory in my soul. This went on for about 2 weeks. Then one night, when praying by my bedside, before retiring and finding no English adequate to express the overflowing fullness of my soul, I found myself beginning to utter words in a new tongue. I experienced spiritual ecstasy. I was taken up wholly with the Lord. Now, I'm gonna read you one more testimony. This is from Haley. She writes this about her experience. Pastor touched my forehead and began praying. I felt like I needed to say something. I didn't understand. I couldn't overcome the doubt in my mind. Pastor looked at me and said, "You're this close." He went on praying for others and left, but Annie from the worship team came and prayed with me. I stayed until the worship band packed up and continued worshiping and seeking the Lord. I knew something had happened, but I didn't feel like I'd received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I was discouraged. I saw Annie on my way out. She encouraged me that it could happen anytime tonight or even when I drive out of the parking lot. I woke up determined to continue to fast. I knew I had joy from the Lord, and I did feel lighter. Do you see some of the similarities between that and like Donald G's experience? She says, after breakfast, I was speaking to my husband, and instantly I felt like something had happened to my heart, almost as if the Lord had tickled it with a feather. I felt so joyful, but I continued with what I had to do throughout the day, all the while fasting. Around 6:25 p.m. on Thursday, I was praying during my time of fasting. I began to speak and pray over the list of things I wanted the Lord to answer during my fast. I was almost at the bottom of my paper, reading aloud and praying, when I heard something I did not recognize. I continued to pray and instantly knew I was speaking in tongues. I stopped in my tracks and began to bawl my eyes out. I couldn't believe it was real. The same God who poured out his Spirit in tongues of fire on the disciples was now on me. For the past 3 days, I've been speaking in tongues constantly during my prayer time. I begin to pray aloud to the Lord, and it will completely take over. At times, I'll even sing a song to the Lord in my spirit language. I feel more joy than I could ever contain or humanly express with words. I am completely, listen to this, healed of my anxiety and depression. I feel on fire from the Holy Spirit with intimacy, with my walk with the Lord. I can't stop praying, and when my timer goes off, I sometimes reset it to add another 30 minutes because it doesn't feel like enough time with him. Praise the Lord for his fullness, mercy, grace, and love that is enduring forever. I truly believe I had to rebuke the spirit of unbelief, doubt, and spiritual sickness I felt to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm forever changed, and all glory be to our living God and our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Such a great testimony.